we're doing underwriting, we're conservative. It's not to say that there's not things to be concerned about. Rising interest rates affect cap rates. Cap rates affect valuations. So you need to make sure that you're underwriting these deals in a way that keeps us safe and conservative.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode.
All right, welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Stephen Libman. I am your host, and today we're going to dive into a little bit of the data. The markets are volatile right now. Everybody's calling me saying, you know, I think I'm just going to sit on the sidelines right now and maybe just sit in a cash position. And look, we're not financial advisors. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. Let me tell you what I'm doing with mine. We are not going to let our money sit in the bank account and lose 8.3 or 8.4% or whatever they're claiming inflation to be, because that's what happens, right? It sits in your bank account, the dollar gets less valuable. So we're looking for investments to at least offset inflation and hopefully outperform inflation. So let's just get into a little bit of the data, because I've said this before on the show, but I think it's a really important point to bring up again, which is, one, not all real estate is created equal, meaning the residential housing market, as it starts to continue to cool off, people are asking me like, well, you know, is there a bubble? Is there a crash? Is it 2007? Is it 2008 again? The first thing to understand is that multifamily investment property is not single family residential property. It is the value of multifamily properties predicated on the value of the income that's being brought in, not the value of your neighbor's house, like in your neighborhood. So when you're thinking about your residential house, it's the comps and the sales in the area that dictate the price. Similar to multifamily, but it's not the whole story, right? The whole story is, what can we get for rents and how occupied am I? So when we purchase a property, typically the rents are a little bit low for the area, or maybe drastically low for the area. It depends on what kind of deal we're doing. And as we increase those rents, the net operating income increases. If we can decrease expenses, it's another way for us to do the value add to increase that net operating income. So it's very different, right? And I think I've said the statistics on the show before too, is 4.5% to 5%, 5.5% is what the mortgage default rate was in 2007 during the crash. That's what created this catastrophe. The multifamily default rate was 0.4%. So that's a huge difference. So anyway, so what are we doing in these markets? Like, why do we still like multifamily investing? So just to go through, if you guys are always looking to increase your knowledge, go to multihousingnews.com, and they have some really great reports. They do national reports. They do hypercentric reports in particular areas. They get a lot of data from Yardi Matrix, and they put it out and publish it every quarter. So year over year rent growth in Orlando was like 16%. Miami, 15%. Nashville, close to 15%. The national average year over year rent growth was 10.9%. Now let's dive into a little bit of the August report that is talking about rent growth actually decelerated for the first time in a long time by 170 basis points. To a 10.9% year-over-year basis, which is down a dollar month over month, meaning the quarter prior, month over month, was down a dollar across the country. So although it's softening, and I'm quoting here, I'm reading, rents rose 6.6% on a year-to-date basis, higher than any other year prior to 2021. And the national occupancy rate was 96% for the fifth straight month. Meanwhile, the average rent in a single family market declined by $2, with year over year growth down 170 basis points to 9.5%. So what does that all mean? I mean, so if you look at our fund mandate, right, we like to invest in the Sun Belt. Well, why, Steve? Why do you like the Sun Belt? Well, on an annual basis, rent growth remains strongest in Sun Belt markets, Orlando, Miami, Nashville, all topping over 15%. And on the other side of the spectrum, you have kind of the Northeast, Midwest, and that's like the Twin Cities only grew at 3%, Baltimore 6%, and gateway metros, meaning the ones that are leading into bigger metros, had good growth as well. Chicago and San Francisco, bringing up the rear with New York at 0.6% rent growth. So that's why we invest in the Sunbelt state. It's all data, right? So, I mean, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're just trying to look at the data, understand where people are moving, where populations go and jobs go, rent increases, right? It's not brain surgery. So you're still seeing, you know, record occupancy rates across the country, record growth in terms of rental growth increases. And yeah, so that's why we invest in these markets, because I mean, the market's crazy this week, right? I mean, I think it's actually up like 1,000 points today, and it finished like 600 points up. It's down 20% year to date. The NASDAQ's down 30% year to date. It's just too volatile for me. I don't have the stomach for it. So when I look at the data and I see Orlando 13% year over year rent growth, and we're only underwriting to 2% rent growth, there's a pretty good chance, right, that 8x increase in what we're underwriting is going to really benefit us and our investors. So anyway, these are the types of reports that we're always looking at when we're doing underwriting. We're conservative. And it's not to say that there's not things to be concerned about, right? Rising interest rates affect cap rates. Cap rates affect valuations. So you need to make sure that you're underwriting these deals, or that we're underwriting these deals, in a way that keeps us safe and conservative. And your exit caps, meaning what you're selling the property for. A couple years ago, people were pro-forming, oh, I bought it at a 5 cap. There's capitalization rates, if you guys want to Google that, if you don't know what we're talking about. So, but 5 cap, I'm buying it at a 5 cap, and I think I'm going to exit it at a 4 cap because the market's blowing up. No more. Like, if you see deals where you're getting pitched and they're looking at compressing cap rates, that's not happening. Interest rates are rising, cap rates will rise as well, which means values will come down a little bit. And you have to underwrite for that. So if you're not underwriting for your exit cap to be higher than your entry cap, then you know you can still get hurt here. The other big unknown that I think is going to create a ton of opportunity in the next 12 to 15 months is going to be all of these five-year ARMs that are resetting. So a lot of guys have interest-only ARMs that were for 5 years and now they're going to reset. And if they reset at a double interest rate, then there's no way that they could account for that. So they're going to have to sell those properties, hopefully to guys like us who have cash in the bank and we're ready to move. And there's going to be blood in the water, I think. And, you know, I'm just reading about Credit Suisse right now. Their stock is tanked. To put it in perspective, Lehman Brothers owned, and these are all credit default swaps based on residential mortgages, right? So again, it's not super correlated, but it does have an effect on the economy. How it affects the economy actually is beneficial for multifamily investors, because if there's foreclosures, then people still need a place to live. They're just not buying houses. So 7, 8, and 9, when the market was crashing, rental occupancy went up by, I don't know, 5 or 6 percentage points. So it just depends where you sit in the market. But Credit Suisse, so Lehman Brothers, when it melted down, had, I forget the number of liabilities, forgive me, but Credit Suisse, as it's melting down right now, we'll see if they get propped up or if they actually liquidate and go bankrupt. If they liquidate and go bankrupt, they have 6 times the liabilities on their books than Lehman Brothers did. So what could that do to the markets? Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be great for the stock market, because that's where a lot of these investment banks hold all of their capital. So surprisingly enough, banks and insurance companies have like 80% to 90% of their cash values invested into, wait for it, multifamily real estate, because they understand that it's a non-correlated asset. So anyway, just wanted to dive in a little bit of the data that we're reading through and why we're still bullish on purchasing more properties and why we're still bullish on multifamily. And that's why we're still bullish in the Sunbelt. So cool. Well, thanks for listening. I appreciate you guys tuning in. In the next couple of weeks, we're launching our Investing with Purpose podcast. It's going to be right here. So same channel. We're just going to see a rebrand and a relaunch of the new name. And it's going to be the same type of content. We're going to be talking about investing and alternative types of ways, non-correlated assets to invest in. And we're also going to start investing, bringing on some entrepreneurs that talk about how their businesses are helping with their philanthropy. So when we say invest with purpose, we mean that we want to be purposeful and intentional about where that money flows to, so that we're doing good around the world. And we're going to introduce a lot more guests into the show, so you don't just have to hear me. And we're going to talk about these entrepreneurs that are doing really incredible things through their businesses, through donor advised funds, through nonprofits, and how that business is helping make the world a better place, not only for the products that they sell and the investments that they make, but the profits that they distribute to go along and help more people. So cool. Thanks. Check you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.